Blog Talk Radio.
We're sorry, the number you've dialed, is not in service.
What's up, everybody? This is your girl, Sheree, creator of Dorm Room Television, and we have our second installment for our Women Making History radio series in celebration of Women's History Month. So we are here again for the second Sunday in a row. Hopefully everybody is spring forward. I'm so happy to see the sunlight. But we have a great special guest with us, blogger, author, designer, Candace Marie. Are you here?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for, agreeing to do the interview. I was so excited that you said yes because I feel like a lot of people need to know what you do. So tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and basically what inspired you to start a site geared towards helping people with their finances, because you're not just any blogger. Because when I think blogger, sometimes people think, lifestyle, beauty, all this other stuff, but you actually blog about helping people with their money.
Yes. Okay. First of all, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today. I grew up in Boston, so in a town called Dorchester. And then I went to school at Rochester Institute of Technology. So while I was in school my senior year, I had a project, and I was called Things I Wish I Knew When I Was 18. And I would go around interviewing different people, different strangers on the campus, asking them what's one thing they wish they knew when they were 18. And I would just gather up their responses. And a lot of people said they wish they knew more about money and finances. And I was like, maybe I should create a blog about this topic because it seems to be very popular and people want to know more about it. So that's kind of how I ended up starting and getting the idea for it.
Mm-hmm. So, starting a blog about finances, how hard or easy was it because to retain, I guess, an audience? Because I think a lot of people, when they think blog, they think only about, gossip, celebrity stuff, and, maybe lifestyle, even like working out or health. How was it to make sure you could, capture that type of audience to say, come to my blog, Young Urban Professionals, read about how you can, help save yourself money? Because, you think about it, it's like, well, it's a money blog. How did you bring them over to say, come on, guys, look at here?
That's a good question. I think in the beginning I didn't really have, a strict path. In the beginning it was more so I'm just writing about anything I want. And then later on people started asking me more questions about money, and then I started to get more strict and more focused on money. Because I think every day we have to deal with money anyway. So I think people are focused on money, but sometimes they just might not know, how to handle it or how to get out of debt or how to invest. And a lot of people struggle with those topics. So although it might not be as popular as celebrity gossip, it's still something that everybody has to deal with.
Yes, I think that's actually very true, because that's what made me gravitate towards your site. And also what I think you offer to me that a lot of, financial sites don't offer, is that you actually are motivational. You'll give books to read or, even talking about health and, you're getting your mind right. How did you think to incorporate all of that onto your blog? Because you're not just getting a blog about money. And to me, that's why I can actually visit it and, scroll and read the stories. And, you have a story right about now talking about what are you going to do with your tax money. And I'm like, oh, duh, everybody, it's tax season. So that's really cool. It is not something that's just, attacking people, because a lot of times people do get judged, where are you going to spend the tax money? Or it doesn't seem like you're telling people what to do, just giving them kind of, options. So what made you decide to start, talking more about not just the money part, but, the motivational and even eating right and, all of that?
Well, I feel like it's all connected. I feel like you have to have a healthy bank account, a healthy body, and a healthy mind. And also a soul is important, too, but I don't really talk too much about the soul, but that's important. Because I feel like if you're just focused on one area, if I'm just solely focused on my personal finances, but I'm not eating healthy, I'm not sleeping right, I'm going to be unbalanced. I'm not going to fully be happy because, yes, I have this money, but at the same time, it's like I'm not fully happy inside because I'm unbalanced in my health. And I think the same thing happens when people are just so focused on their health, but they're not really focused on their finances, or they're not really developing their mind, or they're not really growing. So I've found that, for me, it's all connected. So I felt like maybe everybody else needs to know that it's all connected, and so I wanted to actually share that on my blog to help people live a more balanced life.
Yeah, I actually agree with that because, and the thing is, when it comes to money, when your money is funny, that throws everything out of whack. But I don't think that
that's
people,
so true.
It throws every, like, if your money is messed up or you don't have enough money or you don't, you know, you feel like your finances are not in order, it ruins your whole mood. Like, I don't know about you, but if I don't have enough money, it's just like, dang, I can't go nowhere. I can't do this. I can't do that. And so that leads me to my next question. How has it been trying to help people, like, to inform people about money? Because most people think that if they just save, you know, they'll eventually be rich. So, and you teach them how to invest their money. So how is it having a talk with somebody who really doesn't know about investing and how can they, like, you know, bring it on in? Because a lot of people are like, money is kind of taboo to talk about. Like, you know what I mean? So how do you get over that hump?
I think that's true. Money is kind of like a taboo subject. Nobody really wants to talk about it. And especially for our investing, it's like we were raised to think like, oh, just keep your money under your mattress and it'll be all good. But it's like I was reading a lot of personal finance books in college, and a lot of the books were just saying, like, oh, you need to start investing. And I'm like, investing? Everybody was telling me to invest, but I had no idea how to get started with investing. And so one of my older cousins, he actually started investing a few years ago, and he was like, well, do you want to eat filet mignon or oatmeal for the rest of your life? Like, if you want to eat filet mignon or live a better life, you're going to have to not just save your money, but you're going to actually have to invest it. And at first, I was a little bit afraid. I'm like, what? Investing? Like, when I think about investing, I think about, like, the stock market crashing. I'm like, wait, I'm going to lose all my money. He's like, no. You have to think about a long-term investment. And when you think long-term, if you start now, you're going to have plenty of time. If the market does crash, then it's going to come back, and you're going to get your money back plus more. So I kind of had to change my mindset about how I felt about investing in general.
Why do you think it's, like, a big, like, I guess taboo, or even when it comes to young people, we spend, and we might take a little bit and put it into our bank account, but why do you think it's in, like, our culture to just spend so freely like there's no tomorrow? Because, you know, as soon as people get their job out of college, if they're not really informed on how to budget, and most, I don't want to say all of us, but a lot of us come out of college, you get that little bit of money every 2 weeks, or however much you get paid, and you're just trying to buy your new clothes, your new outfit, the new watch. You're going out every week. You're going out to eat with your friends. So it's like, how do you get, you know what I mean, past that? Why do you think we're so trained to just spend? And how do you help people get out of that? Because that's a habit.
It's definitely a habit. And like I said, at Young Year Wise, I want to help people create better habits. I feel like I was the same way. In high school, that's all I used to spend my money on is just clothes and shoes. And I think I just had to shift my thinking into what really makes me happy. Like, okay, yeah, I like to look good, and that is going to make me happy. But is looking good more important than me reaching my financial goals? So I think a lot of times people don't really think about what are their top three financial goals that they have at the moment, whether that's paying off debt and credit cards or lowering your student loans or putting $5,000 in your emergency account or starting a retirement fund or investing. I think once I figured out what my top three or four money goals were at the moment, it helps me stay on track with my spending. Like, okay, I can't spend this amount of money going out and shopping. I have to sacrifice. You know, it's all about making sacrifices. And I think in the beginning I didn't understand that. For me, happiness was going out. Happiness was having money and buying all these clothes. But now happiness has changed. Happiness is me reaching my goals and thinking about long term and not just today's gratification.
You need to be in, like, everybody's high school teaching these courses to, you know, young kids. Because, I mean, we get jobs very young now. Like, even at 16, people are working, you know, to get their prom outfits, and they're just – and they could be saving money or at least knowing how to invest their money once they start making, you know, that type of money when they graduate or even while in college, because you never know. It could be something small that they can invest in and it just goes boom. So with that being said, you wrote an actual ebook not too long ago, The Young Urban Investor's Guide. So what made you say, you know what, this cannot just be a site, it needs to be a book?
I wrote a blog post called If You're Not Investing, You're Losing. And a lot of people started sending me messages saying, like, oh, can you help me more? Can you teach me more about investing? I've always wanted to learn how to invest, but I don't know where to start. So I realized that there was a need for it. And I realize anytime you have a business or a blog, and you just have to, your audience generally tells you what they want. So I was basically just catering to my audience, and I decided I was going to write a book on, like, the basics on how to get started investing, because not everyone has, like, an older cousin that they can go to and ask for personal finance advice. So I kind of wanted to be that friend to them or that older cousin that they didn't have.
So what are some of the things you think that people do, like, off the top of your head, wrong with money? Because, like I said, we all have money, and we're not, I don't want to say all of us, but a lot of us are not highly educated in how to budget, properly invest, or even get started, you know, to break the habit. So what do you think are some of the, well, I know what you already know, some of the things that we, especially young urban, like, professionals, what do we do so wrong from the jump?
What do we do wrong from the jump with our money? Like I said, I think we don't really create money goals for ourselves. So when we do get that paycheck, if our money doesn't have a destination to go, then we're just going to spend it. And for me, I had, like, recently I just started breaking down my bank accounts into, like, different sub-accounts. Like, I have, like, an online, I have a Bank of America, and then I also have, like, a high-interest yielding account, so, like, a Capital One. And so basically in that account, I can break down the different savings account. Like, I can have, like, a house fund if I want. I can have a vacation fund. So that way I actually see how much money I'm putting towards which goal. And I think when you don't have a destination for your money, you just think that you have all this extra money to spend. Like, oh, yeah, I can spend $500 on the shopping spree or whatever because I don't have any other destination for it. So I think that's what one thing that we do wrong. We don't have a destination for our money.
Wow, I never thought about that, the destination for your money, because you know what it is? I've been told, you know, as a child, I'm not going to blame my mother and my father, we're taught to get money. Like, you know, that's the goal. Like, you know what I mean? Even as when you're growing up, or even, you know, in throughout school, throughout college, throughout any type of, you know, system that you're in, they teach you how to get money, or you're supposed to get money in whatever shape or form, you know, getting a job, going to school to get the job, to get the money. But nobody's teaching how to invest. And why do you think that is? Because it's such a thing, especially with this economy that we have that's so, you know, it got everybody scared, basically. It put fear into people. So if you wanted to invest, people are now actually scared to even say, oh, let me put my money in all of these, you know, stocks, and we just had this big crash or whatever. So why do you think our culture specifically is taught to just get money and not, you know, not only are we not saving money, we're not even thinking about investing money?
Yeah, I think that is true. It is always about, oh, you got to get money. But I think what you do with that money is more important, because you could have somebody that even makes $100,000 a year, if they're, like, living above their means and they're buying all these unnecessary things, they're still not going to have wealth, because even though they're making a lot of money, they basically don't have anything in savings. So they're losing, you know. So I think it's not about how much money that you make. And I think I learned this lesson when I was a senior in high school, and the janitor, he gave me, like, a $10,000 scholarship to go to college. And he was just a janitor at high school. But he said, no matter how much money you make, you have to put away some money. You have to put some money to a side. So he would make, like, $25 a week. Out of that $25, he would put $5 away. And then he started saving, and he started investing in properties, and he started buying different properties, and he started, like, investing his money. So I think that no matter how big or little you make, it's just what you do with that money afterwards. So it's not enough just to save. Saving is a great starting point, but after you save, you have to think about, okay, now, what investment buckets am I going to put this money? You have to have some saved, some in investment, some for retirement. So, it is important to get money. But after you get the money, it's like, okay, now what are you going to do with that money?
So one of the biggest myths that I've always heard, I don't know if it's true or not, because I've heard from several different people, several different answers. So now I'm asking you, is there a such thing as good debt? Because the idea of debt to me is just a negative. It's like a big no-no. So then you have people saying that, there is good debt. So I want to ask you to clear up the yes to the good debt or the no to the good debt. Is there a such thing as good debt?
Yes, I think there is such thing as good debt. They always say, like, oh, if you have a mortgage, if you have a home, that's good debt. A college education, that's good debt. But any other debt other than that, it's not really good to have, like, a car debt or a credit card debt. Well, I mean, you do need an education, so I think education is important, but I wish I didn't have student loans to pay off. You know, I have so much extra money if I didn't have that. So I do think there is good debt. Yeah.
All right, so people always talk about if you just save, then you will become rich. So is that a myth? If I just started saving all of my money, you know, because I heard that, I don't know where I saw it somewhere, like you have to make like 2,000 and something a day for like 365 days.
Oh, I've seen that too.
Yeah, to become a millionaire. So that's another, I would say it's a myth, because if you break it down like that, the average person doesn't make that much money, 2,000 and something a day, for a whole year straight to become a millionaire. So we've kind of been trained that also if you want to get a lot of money, you just save everything. So is that true? If you just save, are you going to become rich, or do you need to invest, period, to get to that next peak of, you know, money?
I think you definitely have to invest to get to that next peak of money. Because if you're saving your money and it's just in a bank account that's earning like not even 5 cents a year, I don't think you're not going to be able to get to that high peak or high amount of money, because when you're investing, let's say if I put $1,000 and I buy like Coca-Cola, and now like if I bought like 25 shares of Coca-Cola, every 3 months, Coca-Cola is paying me a certain amount of money. So I'm getting dividend payments from this company. So that's like every 3 months. If I only bought 25 shares, that's it. But I only bought 25 shares one time. Every 3 months, I'm getting a certain amount of money. So I'm making money from the dividend payments, and I'm also making money because Coca-Cola's prices is going up in their stock. So that's why it's important to invest, because you're making that interest rate is higher and you're making money off the dividends. Not every stock is dividends, but that's why the rich people are getting richer, because they have large amounts of money and then they're able to buy a large amount of shares, and then the shares just keep making money.
Makes
money
sense.
That
money
you won't be able to make. Yeah, exactly. So if it's in the bank account, it's just losing money, especially with like inflation.
Yeah, because it's not doing anything.
Yeah, so you definitely have to invest.
And the last myth I know about is that people think, including myself, I'm not taking myself out of this category, you have to be well off to start investing. Can the average person making maybe $50,000 or I'll put it even lower, because now we're in different times. If you're making $35,000, $40,000, $45,000, $50,000, anywhere in those brackets of yearly income, can you start investing, or should you wait until you get more money? Because I think a lot, especially young people, they think that, they can't invest their money right now because they don't have enough of it.
No, I think that the younger you start, the better. Because I feel like
what would be a normal number that you can start invest, like $100? Do you need $500? Do you need $1,000? Do you need a couple thousand?
I know there's, you need a brokerage account in order to start investing. There's some brokerage accounts where it's free, like you don't have to have any money to sign up. But I use Charles Schwab, and when I started investing, I had to have $1,000 to open the account. So I just started investing with $1,000.
Okay.
And then once you have... Okay.
Finish it.
Okay. So once I had that $1,000... Okay, once I had that $1,000 to invest and I bought a few shares, now it's just about me getting into a habit of maybe putting away like a $200 here or $100 here or another $300 this week when I have a little extra. Just getting into the habit of saving money and putting it away.
I just feel like we should all now go and just, you know, get a brokerage joint and just start. It just seems like it's so, the way you explain it, it just makes it seem like it's not impossible. It's not like a bunch of mumbo jumbo. And I think that's why people do need to buy a book, because it does break, not just like a friendly plug, but because it breaks it down and put it in layman's terms. Because when you start hearing shares and this, it's like, what? Wah, wah, wah. And I feel like all you need is somebody to just say, no, it's not that serious. It's just names for, you know, it's just definitions. It's not, like, so scary. So I want to ask you this question. How hard is it to be a woman in business? Or how hard has it been, or easy has it been, or what have been some of your challenges or successes to be a woman in business, especially, like, you know, banking, finance? That's when you think of all of those things, the image that comes to your mind, not necessarily all the time. Well, for me, it's a woman or a man, but I know people automatically think, a man knows everything about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. I never really thought about that, but a man usually is the one that handles the money. But a challenge for me being a woman in business, I think I'm still kind of starting out, and I think that in the beginning, like, it's okay not to have all the answers, because I feel like even my business has evolved since the beginning to where it is now, and it's going to continue to keep evolving and growing. And I think that it's okay not to have all the answers and to ask for help and to reach out to other people who are doing what you're doing and ask them for help, or just to be your, like, accountability partner, or try to find, like, a coach or just somebody that you can lean on when you don't know how to figure out something. So I think that that was a challenge in the beginning, because I feel like I was just solely relying on myself. And then once I started to, like, going to different conferences and doing different Twitter chats and finding other people that were bloggers that I could, like, reach out to and ask for help, I feel like that's where I really started to grow.
So that leads me to my next question. What is some advice that you would give to somebody who wants to maybe start a blog or a site or write a book about, you know, how to invest or even, like, to how to help people budget and prioritize their money? What would be some, you know, advice that you could kind of give right now?
To people that want to start a business, I know you asked, like, different questions. Okay, so for one, for people who want to start a business, I think you should just get started, whether it's helping your friends for free in the beginning or you just have to get out there. And it's okay if you don't have all the answers in the beginning, and it's okay to also ask for help. So that's for anybody that wants to get started. For somebody who wants to get started with saving or investing, I think you just first have to figure out what your top financial goals are at the moment, because if you have, like, a bunch of credit card debt, I think it's going to be hard to tell people, oh, you should invest your money when you have $1,000 worth of credit card debt. So I think first you need to figure out, okay, what are your three goals? Okay, first you should eliminate the debt, and then the money that you was putting towards that debt, maybe you should now put that money to an account to start investing in later on. So yeah, I think, and just figuring out where you stand, I think that's really important. Just sitting down with your financials, opening up, if you don't like a spreadsheet, open up Microsoft Word and just figure out, okay, where am I at right now and where do I want to be, and then how am I going to get there?
And so lastly, well, not lastly, but a question, since this is Women's History Month and today is International Women's Day, who is a woman that has actually inspired you or helped you or been a positive impact in your life?
Okay. This is going to sound so cliche because I feel like everybody always says this, but my mom, she's really been that person. That, like, you know, everybody always says their mom, but I have to say
that's the person that you've been with the longest. Like, if any people don't say their mom, it's not that I think it's always you can't say your mom, but I just feel like when you do say your mom, it actually makes sense. You've been with your mother the longest. You know, literally from little birth in the stomach in the womb. So when you say your mom, actually it makes total sense.
Okay, yeah. So my mom, she's definitely like my biggest supporter, and she's always like encouraging me. Even when if I want to give up, she's like, "No, Candace, you can do Candace." That's what she calls me. I'm can do Candace to her, and like she's just always supporting my dreams. If I told her like, "Okay, mom, I want to start a toothpaste brand," she'd be on the internet buying ingredients and helping me brainstorm different names. Like, so I think she's
and that's
yeah,
what you need.
Really,
you really do.
Yeah, exactly.
And
so
what
I definitely
do you see
say my mom.
Yourself? And what do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I just want to keep growing and evolving Young Yet Wise and just keep growing on my designs, and also maybe get involved in real estate. Like, there's just so many things that I still want to accomplish, but at the same time while living in day-type compartments. Because sometimes I get, like, when you start to think about the future, sometimes you get overwhelmed. So while also still focusing on making the best 24 hours that I have, but it's important to have goals, but just focusing on the best 24 hours that I – what can I do in the next 24 hours that's going to help me reach my goals? So,
that
yeah, just
sense.
Growing and evolving.
Now, we have a couple of flash questions before we let you go. Flash questions are just – you answer the question when whatever answer comes to your mind is no real thinking. So, first question,
okay.
Who's your favorite book author?
Oh, my favorite book
author.
This is so tough. Well, I think my favorite book is A Millionaire by 30, and it's by this guy named Alan Corey. I just think it's just really well written, and it's just easy to understand, and it was just, yeah, I just love his writing and his book.
Okay, what's your personal mantra that you live by?
My personal mantra that I live by? I think just like mind, body, soul, and bank account be better. Like everything you should strive for just to be better.
Okay, what's your favorite time of day?
My favorite time of day. I think I'm more productive in the morning. Well, after I've had my cup of coffee. So I think the morning time is probably my favorite time.
Coke or Pepsi?
Ooh, Coke. I'm an investor, so I'm going to say Coke. I invest in Coke.
And if you are not an author or a financial planner or a blogger, what would you be doing now? What would be your career?
Another great question. What would my career be if I wasn't doing these things? I don't even know what I would be doing if I wasn't, if I didn't have Young and Wise or I didn't design. I don't know. When I was young, I wanted to be a marine biologist. Yeah.
You would have been,
I don't know.
That is so funny because I always say, like, out loud to people and just say I'm a marine biologist because I know they'll think I'm smart, but I actually have no idea what a marine biologist actually does, how much money they make, and, you know, what do you do to become one. So when you say you want to be a marine biologist, I just feel like automatically people will be like, oh, my gosh, she's so smart. You would have been a marine biologist.
Yeah, when I was younger, that's what I wanted to be.
And that's so crazy because it's like, yeah, marine biologist, really? Let everybody know where they can reach you, where your website is, and how they can get your book. Like, this is your plug time.
Okay, everyone, my website is youngyetwise.com, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. It's just at youngyetwise, but instead of the E at the end of wise, it's going to be the letter, the number 3.
Okay, and thank you so much.
And also my book is on the website as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah,
so make sure y'all get
on
that
the
book. I would say get the book. And my thing is, like I said, even if y'all don't feel like, oh, I don't know about the book, just read one post that she wrote. And to me, she breaks it down. And I feel like that's what, you know, made me gravitate towards you. And you're so positive. And I would love a Young Yet Wise hat because I feel like I'm young and I'm still wise.
Oh, yeah, I could send it. Yeah, I could send you one.
You need to bring the hats back because I feel like as soon as I saw, I was like, oh, my God, I need one of those.
No, I got to bring them back.
You do. Thank you so much for doing this interview. I think it was informative. I hope the viewers, they should have been sitting down with a pen and pencil.
thank you for having me.
No problem. Okay, bye. All right, y'all. Y'all just heard from Candace from Marie. Make sure y'all check out her site, www.youngyetwise.com. She's so good. I'm not just saying that because, you know, I interviewed her. Go on the site, read one post, and it'll make you change the way you think about money. And that's, like, the reason why I think she's so good. She breaks it down. She doesn't make you feel like you're small or you need to go get a dictionary. She breaks it down to where you can understand it. And make sure you visit Dorm Room Television, www.dormroom.tv. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Google+. We're on everything. Everything is Dorm Room TV. If you can't find us, just follow hashtag Dorm Room TV. And next week we will bring you another woman who is a blogger. And she has like a lifestyle blog going on. She does a whole bunch of great things, Lisa Marie. And we're going to have a lot of fun with her. So tune in next week. Same time, same place. Alrighty, y'all. Have a good rest of your week and enjoy the sun. It's here. Bye.